And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Hope you had a good weekend. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did. I just had a panic right there. I put on my headphones and I thought that the show was starting. And I heard Stoneman's softcore porn theme song on. I'm like, oh my God, Michelle, you played the wrong theme song. And then it was just a commercial right before us. So,
whew. You thought we were changing songs on you?
So when is Jared going to change that? When are they going to change their theme song? They're okay with that?
Look.
They're okay with a show on their station talking about how their show is like music for people to undress to. They're cool with that?
They're the only show in town.
That's right.
That can make that claim.
They're the only show in town willing to be honest about, what is it, 50 Shades of Grey?
50 Shades of Grey, apparently.
Anyway, sorry, I freaked out.
Jared is not changing until Valentine's Day is over. Of course, guys. Come on.
Is that what he said?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
February 15th, it's gone.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Speaking of, glad you brought that up. Reminder to all the people out there, Valentine's Day is a week from today. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Just a reminder.
It's good. Don't start dating someone on February 13th.
Do not. Wait till the 15th.
Yeah.
Be as far away from as possible from Valentine's
Day. Like Ryan from The Office.
Yes, exactly. Just, it's a no-fly zone here. Michelle, what's going on? How's your weekend?
Guys, very productive weekend. Spring cleaning / winter cleaning.
There you go.
I'm getting off coffee. We're meal prepping.
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow I'm going to work out before the show. We are just turning a page.
You're going to do what?
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking, and like going to a place?
No. I have a gym in my apartment.
Okay,
so,
I was about to say this.
So yeah. Go to sleep
2:30 a.m.
Going off the rails here.
Go to sleep in half workout clothes. Okay. Put the sneaks on. Walk across the hall. 30 minutes of cardio. Shower. Get in my car. Come here.
I guess that's doable.
That's fair.
I mean, that is that will help you with the coffee thing.
Yeah,
for sure. I used to play 6 a.m. hoops, which I used to think was crazy early, but then like your whole day, like you have energy from that. And I only drank like 8 coffees a day back then when I did that. So that should help you.
But here's the thing. I'm saying I'm going to do this, and I'll believe it when I see it. So I'll update tomorrow morning.
If it's across the hall, I mean, that's reasonable. That's a good plan.
Yeah, usually first off, I would already hate waking up at 4:45. Like, I'm not waking up any earlier than that. So I'm just out at that point. But if I had my excuse that I give myself is, well, I have to go somewhere. There's no gym in my house. So I got to go drive somewhere. I'm not doing that.
No, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I would never drive anywhere. Yeah. That would just be a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's good. You got to go in one coffee a day.
And this is why I'm progressively getting more and more out of shape with each passing day. That's why this happens.
But you got your diet. What is it? Diet Dr. Pepper there?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's diet.
It is.
No cows.
I'm not sure it's in the long run that much better for you, but it is. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Coffee is supposed to be really good for you. That's seriously I rationalize everything with that, right? Like, it's supposed to be, other than the caffeine.
There's a different study every year on it.
That's true.
One year it's supposed to kill you, and the other year you might live until you're 160.
Yeah, I just read what I want to believe.
That's right.
Like, until your body's just shaking, and I realize I've had like 12 cups of coffee and not eaten anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, gosh.
Big sports weekend this weekend. Lots of great All-Star games going on. Had the NHL All-Star weekend in Vegas. Had the Pro Bowl, which is, as we know on the show, Joe Rexford's favorite event of the year. How much time did you watch of the Pro Bowl yesterday?
So I met a buddy for a beer yesterday. I was streaming the Vanderbilt, Alabama women's basketball game, which Michelle was working. Vanderbilt lost in overtime. Tough loss. Good game. And I accidentally looked up at the brewery. You guys have been there.
Yep.
On the TV, and I watched. It was like a Stephon Diggs end around touchdown with like everyone sort of jogging and no one blocking or hitting or really running.
It's great stuff.
And he just sort of walked in the end zone, and I was like, I cannot believe that I just watched a play of the Pro Bowl. And then I turned away, and that was it. I watched that one play, and I was like, that's exactly why I don't watch the Pro Bowl. I watched none of any of the All-Star stuff. It was a basketball weekend. A lot of basketball, which counted, which mattered, which was good.
It did.
And nothing else.
Well, congratulations to Mike Vrabel. AFC won.
That's right.
Yeah. Big deal.
Well, I mean, the AFC players get $80,000 a piece, and the NFC players only get $40,000 a piece. So, that's, why not? I mean, May as well win if you're going to be out there.
Yeah, might as well.
Did Vrabel get like an extra bonus as a winning coach?
I would assume so.
Yeah?
I don't know.
It looked like he was having fun. I just saw some stuff like him with the fans. You know, like he was with kids out there and throwing footballs and things like that. So a lot of good Twitter content from Mr. Jim Wyatt.
It was. Good to see Roman Yossi and UC Soros in Vegas as well at the NHL All-Star Game. Lots of stuff going on in Vegas this week. Tyreek Hill ended up at the NHL All-Star Game like crushing a beer on television. That was quite something.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like he slammed a whole beer?
Yeah,
like slammed the whole thing. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for
you. Sure did. It was good stuff. So shout out to Tyreek Hill.
And he only runs a 4-1-3.
Yeah.
After that beer.
But Roman Yossi, good showing at the All-Star weekend. UC Soros stopped 4-5. You know, it's one of those things. I was at dinner with my wife Friday night. I was watching a little bit of the skills competition. I actually like the skills competition in the NHL. You know, the hardest shot and all that stuff. It's cool. You know, Roman Yossi sitting out there in like the fountains of the Bellagio, just firing pucks left and right. That was pretty cool.
It was a good idea to put it out there.
And I was over at my grandparents' house Saturday, and he had the game itself on, which is, as we know, is like the NHL All-Star Game is now a series of different games between here's the Pacific Division playing the Metro and the Atlantic and all this other stuff. And I'm sitting there watching this happen, and it's 3-on-3, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Wasn't that long ago the All-Star Game was here. I enjoyed it. It legitimately is one of my favorite weekends of covering sports. It was so awesome. And there were so many things that it's in your market. It's great. It is not made for TV. It's a pretty brutal watch on television. And I don't know what you do about that to fix it, because in both cases here with the Pro Bowl and the NHL All-Star Game, you're talking about contact sports. And you're not just going to have them go out there and just destroy each other. I understand that. So I don't really know what you do to fix it, but didn't spend much time watching All-Star or Pro Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I think what the NHL has done, I like some of the, like you said, I like the skills stuff. I mean, they've tried to be creative and change it up. If you had the old way that just looked like a game, it's the same thing. Like, it's just those games. I mean, I think especially football, but it's true of hockey, too. Like, you just can't fake it.
No.
You can't fake it with that game. You can go out and everybody can play baseball at their absolute best. And you can have the best pitchers in the world throwing their nastiest stuff, and everybody, that's fine. I mean, I still like the baseball All-Star game because of that. Like, it's actually watching the sport.
Yeah.
I also like the NBA All-Star game. I used to love it. I used to live for that thing. But it's, you can still, like, you know, there's still guys doing their absolute top stuff, you know. No, they're not playing defense like they do. You know, they're kind of like everybody, let everybody score. But you're letting everybody show off your skills. And it's still fun to watch in football when people are just kind of jogging and kind of – it just doesn't work. Yeah. It just doesn't work. So there's two that I like, and the other two are – I mean, one is absolutely – like, there's just, they should just completely, to me, do away with the Pro Bowl game.
Yeah.
But I've said that for years, and they – and people watch it. So
I know. I
guess they're not going to do it, but people watch it.
I can't believe that they do, but they do. It's crazy to me that people, like, there are people that sit down and watch all four quarters of the Pro Bowl.
Like, I mean,
what,
like,
are you doing?
Like, young fans who really just want to root for, like, their player?
Yeah.
I guess. Someone tell me, if you watch the Pro Bowl, please tell me why. Please tell me what's wrong with you, actually.
That's got to be it.
Let's just lay it out there, okay?
What a big win for Vandy on Saturday. Had the Shane Foster jersey retirement ceremony. We had Shane on the show on Friday. Was an excellent interview. You can go check that out at Spotify and Apple and anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search Robbie and Rex Road. Great interview with Shane Foster. But big day for Vandy, both off the court with the jersey retirement and on the court as well. That's a big win for Jerry Stackhouse and company, even though I know LSU is kind of – they've hit the skids a little bit here.
Yeah, they have hit the skids. But big win, you know, ranked team, you get to four. I mean, Vanderbilt hasn't had four SEC wins since Bryce Drew's second season. When they end up with six, this team has a real chance to, you know, to beat that. I'd say an outside chance of an NIT. And I don't, you know, the NIT, I mean, that's the thing, is like, is the NIT happening for sure? I mean, I don't know. But I think, you know, the NCAA bid is probably unrealistic, but, you know, at 12-10, 4-6, that's his second win of a ranked team, both against LSU. And Scottie Pippen didn't shoot, and they won. So you get 11 threes between Chapman and Studi, and Yeah, they were up big, and then 16-0 run for LSU, and I was like, dude, they're going to blow this. They were turning it over left and right, but figured it out.
Tennessee pretty well dominates South Carolina on Saturday. A nice shooting day for the Vols. I saw Wes Rucker point this out on Twitter. Like, that Tennessee team doesn't always show up, but when they do, they're pretty dangerous. And it looks like they're getting in a little bit more of a groove offensively for the Vols. So, nice win for them against South Carolina. Kentucky takes down Alabama Saturday night. And Alabama, man, the live by the three, die by the three. Woo!
Yeah.
That can get them.
Yeah, well, they're 3 for 30.
It's not good.
3 for 30. So I'm sure Michelle will tell us. Michelle Perry will tell us it was all good D. No. Okay, you won't even. Okay, go.
Listen, I had a really good tweet planned out, and then I forgot to tweet it, and I was going to tag you, Joe, and I was going to say, so sorry, Nate Oates. Go listen to some Hall & Oates. It'll make you feel better.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was going to direct him to your
helpline.
Your helpline.
So you're going to tag, actually, Nate Oates.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, well, that guy's a little bit, you know, he's up with that guy. I'm just saying. Like, I could see that guy, like, doxing someone for.
A little tightly strung?
Yeah, he's just a little, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a good coach, but, like, the whole thing with Coach K last year is like, take it easy, man.
Yeah, calm down a little bit, buddy.
How about Auburn, though? Michelle almost had the shot called.
By the way, did you see the last play of that game?
Uh-huh.
How is that not a charge or a travel? Like, it can't be – a block or a travel. Like, it can't be nothing.
So
he took, like, 4 steps.
You're talking about
the layup.
The winning bucket. Yeah. Did he lose the ball a little bit, though?
I don't think so.
That's what I thought when I saw it. I thought he kind of lost the ball, and then he continued with it.
I don't think so.
I'll look at it again.
I was watching that last play happen. I was like, it's nothing? You didn't call anything? Okay. Cool.
Yeah. The thing is, Georgia – just front ends of 1-1s late, or they win.
Yeah.
So Tom Crean's tough, man.
Yeah. Robbie and Rex are brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Some moves made by the Titans over the weekend, including on the offensive staff. We'll get into that coming up next. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The NFL season all comes down to this, Super Bowl 56, and with the Rams taking on the Bengals to celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking all customers up with a risk-free same-game parlay. New and existing customers can place any same-game parlay of 3 legs or more on the Super Bowl, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund you. Same-game parlays combine the multiple bets from the same game into one wager for bigger payouts. You can build your parlay your way with spreads, money lines, totals, Super Bowl props, and much more. I like the Bengals on the money line. Give me Joe Burrow over on passing yards. Give me Matt Stafford over on passing yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. New customers, join today with promo code ROB to enjoy 56-1 odds on either team to win in the Super Bowl. You can turn a $5 bet into $280 cash. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I hadn't watched the Pro Bowl in years, so I decided to check it out this year. Needless to say, I watched about 30 seconds of it. It was hard to watch before, but now I'd rather have someone pull my fingernail out. That's coming from an unnamed texter.
Thank you.
On the text line.
I need somebody. I need somebody not messing around, seriously, who can tell me that you actually watch the Pro Bowl, because the ratings are good.
I know.
The ratings are why it continues.
Yeah.
If everybody would, watching, we could join together as a society and stop watching the Pro Bowl. We could make the world a better place, but people are watching. So I need to hear from somebody who does.
I know of people, and I haven't talked to these people in over 10 years, so I don't know if they still do it. I know people that used to throw a Pro Bowl party every year. They're like, you know how you have people over for the Super Bowl? They say, no. Pro Bowl. Get everybody over here.
My God.
We'll watch the AFC and NFC. Oh.
Now, I assume this would have been like the week after, because it used to be the week after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, after the Super Bowl.
So Super Bowl party, yeah. And then, so what did they do for the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I think they went somewhere else. But the next week they had people over to their house for the Pro Bowl.
Wow,
we didn't get enough of the people party.
Yeah.
I know the Super Bowl was last week, and it's fine. Get over here for the Pro Bowl,
man.
I think the excuse. That, I mean, they love. They're all about football, like big high school football people too. And the excuse they use, well, it's the last time we'll see football until August.
Well, that's. I mean, that is true.
Yeah,
I mean, someone. So. Do you know who Mark Nagy is?
Yeah.
Knoxville TV, former TV guy. He's not in it anymore. He wrote a good book. He wrote the book, what the heck is the name? Decade of Dysfunction, which was good, about Tennessee football. But he had a tweet yesterday, like, all these people complaining about, football, and what's about to be, there's about to be no football. I tweeted, I'm like, but this isn't football.
It's true.
That's not what this is. That's the problem. Like, I agree. Like, this is totally relevant to the bowl games. I mean, I'm totally on that. I'm on board. If you want to complain about all the crappy bowl games, okay. Well, we're about to have no football.
Yeah.
But those are actual football games being played. Teams who are actually running and hitting.
Yes.
And playing.
Blocking all right. those things.
So, you see the difference.
Speaking of football, that actually matters, Joe Rexrode. Lots of Titans fans upset that no changes have come to this point to the offensive staff. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill, Todd Downing have been in the crosshairs of Titans fans ever since the end of the season and will continue to be as the offseason progresses along here. We'll get more into the Tannehill part of this coming up here in just a few minutes. But the Titans have made a move on the offensive side of the football, kind of similar to what we saw last year with Jim Schwartz on the defensive side of the football. And our very own Chase McCabe reporting on Saturday that Tim Kelly, who was with the Texans, has been given the title of Senior Offensive Assistant / Passing Game Coordinator for the Titans. So he joins Vrabel's staff. He was with the Texans this past season, obviously has some familiarity with Vrabel as well. But Tim Kelly joining the staff as a Senior Offensive Assistant / Passing Game Coordinator. What do you think of this move for Mike Vrabel and the Titans? What do you think it means for this offense?
Well, first of all, give credit to Chase McCabe,
correct,
who reported the title yesterday, which is interesting. I think the title's a really interesting part of this. I got confirmation from a source that Kelly was coming on, and I'm actually looking at the text back and forth right now, and the source said, quote, "I'm not sure how the title will be worded. That's Agent Bleep," end quote. But the title is interesting to me. I mean, it makes it, to me, different than Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz was a senior defensive assistant, and that's it. Jim Schwartz, from what I ever saw, you know, really he wasn't involved in practice field stuff. I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to say a coach of the coaches, but you know what I mean? He advised the coaches, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, Bowen and the staff, right? He was another set of eyes, very experienced set of eyes. With Tim Kelly as passing game coordinator, although I was told by the source and another source too, and other people have said the same thing. I mean, everybody got basically the same information. This is like Schwartz. It's similar to Schwartz, and what I got too, which I didn't really know, but the Schwartz thing when he came on was sort of we'll see how it goes. But they were really happy with it. You know, they were really happy with how it turned out. May not be like thrilled with people asking about it. You know, at some point, but they were happy with how it worked out. So they wanted a similar thing on offense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's fine. But if he's passing game coordinator along with senior offensive assistant, like it'll be interesting. Like, does that mean he's more involved in the practice field? Is he sort of like a co-coordinator?
Yeah.
Does Todd Downing like this development? Because here's the thing: it may not be fair at all. But like, if they have a big turnaround year in that department, then to me, it's going to be a lot easier to give that a big chunk of that credit to Tim Kelly than this year it was, even though some wanted to give credit for the defensive turnaround to Jim Schwartz. Am I on the right track here?
I think you're totally on the right track. I'm just in my mind picturing, you know, the Titans just lighting it up on offense the first 3-4 weeks. Tannehill looks great. And just the questions of, so Mike, how much credit does Tim Kelly deserve for what we're seeing out there right now?
Yeah.
I can't wait for it.
It's
going to be awesome.
Well, yeah, now first you have to have good passing offense to be able to ask those questions.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, so Todd Downing is the OC. He's going to continue to be available weekly during the season. So how many questions he gets? So how much is Tim Kelly, doing with the passing offense? What are you doing? I mean, again, I'm not saying it's fair. I have no idea how it's going to work out. But that title is – That says a lot more to me than what Schwartz's title does.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, could there be something that's done on the offensive side of the ball? I think we knew pretty quickly Todd Downing wasn't getting fired. That was pretty apparent with Vrabel's comments immediately after the season. But would they do something on the offensive side of the ball similar to what we saw with Jim Schwartz and Shane Bowen on that side last year? And the answer is yes. Now, to your point, I think this one is a little bit more interesting based on the title and the passing game coordinator part of it. What is that, exactly does that mean? And how involved is Tim Kelly going to be in that side of it on the field? I'm fascinated by that. You know, if you're Todd Downing, yeah, it may not be fair. Like, if I'm a Titans fan, I don't care what Todd Downing thinks about this. Like, you got to go out there and do a better job next year. Like, again, to your point, and this happens in the immediate aftermath of the loss, and I get it. Like, it wasn't just all straight trash from Todd Downing last year. There's a lot of injuries, a lot of things to deal with. He had some moments where he called a really good game. I mean, the first half against Kansas City, I don't know how you call a much better game than that. Titans offense looked pretty darn good. So there were some good moments from Todd Downing this year. But when it ends the way it ends, it leaves everybody kind of shaking your head. So I wondered if they do something. The passing game coordinator title is interesting to me, and I wonder what exactly that means for Ryan Tannehill and kind of how they're going to structure that as it moves into next year. Because obviously something's got to change. You can't have an inconsistent passing game like they had this past season. Tim Kelly, very well thought of. That was the thing. Like, a lot of people, when the Titans made this move, they're like, wow, Tim Kelly, huh? Good move by the Titans. I don't know. Every guy that comes in is a great move. And then you look at the offensive coordinator like, well, what do you think of that, buddy? Sorry.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, and see, the thing with Tim Kelly that's also, like, different in this situation is, you know, Jim Schwartz, yeah, everybody around here is like, Jim Schwartz, DC head coach. But he wasn't a quote-unquote Vrabel guy.
No.
I mean, you know, it was like, hey, he's available. Sure, give it a try. I want to make clear. This was made clear to me a couple things. One, again, they weren't sure how it would work out last year. But here's another quote. Quote, I was excited. So the Titans were excited to do it on the other side of the ball. They look at this like Schwartz, okay? Yep. So I think moving forward, next time like Vrabel talks, or I think the next time Vrabel and Robinson talk to the whole group will be in Indy in about a month.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting, you know, because that'll come up. Like that title says more to me, but maybe that's not what they want. I mean, it was explained to me that it's not. Like, it's basically the same idea. I don't know how you could be a passing game coordinator and do exactly what Schwartz did. Mm. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's a strong title if that's the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a Todd Downing or a Todd Downing family member, you know, you can look at his situation so far as OC in this league. You know, he has a disastrous 1 year with the Raiders, but everything goes wrong. The injuries are crazy. A lot of stuff goes bad. And then this last year, he's the OC for a team with, you know, basically the most injuries ever in a season.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go. Like, you could look at it and say, man, this is not fair. But to your point, hey, they got to figure it out.
Yeah.
If they figure it out, is he going to be as, I guess, maybe coveted? A lot of people are going to be like, okay, so who gets the credit here? Well, whatever. The point is, make it better. You know, it'll still be better for you if it gets better.
Joe from Maryland texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I hope Todd Downing has zero say in any pass play. Also, the first task for Tim Kelly, throw the bubble screen and first play of the playoff game in the trash. Actually, make sure you burn it so there's no chance it ever comes back up again. This is coming from Joe from Maryland.
The bubble Todd, never works.
Todd, I know that you are the offensive coordinator, but I don't even want you to spell the word pass. Not happening.
Third and nine. Okay, what's it called? Todd, you think a pass play? Hey, Todd, I'm muting
Todd,
you.
Get off the headset.
Tim, what's the play? What's the play, Tim? It's a pass play. Wait, what about an RPO? Who gets the call in an RPO? Who calls that one?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, look, Todd Downing's still going to be the OC. He's still going to be calling plays. Yeah, all that stuff. I don't think Tim Kelly is brought in, you know, to overtake him. But, again, the difference with Schwartz and Kelly is that Kelly is a quote-unquote Vrabel guy. And the fact that they, you know, showed interest and were blocked a year ago, that means, you know, that Vrabel, like, I could see Vrabel could probably see him as his OC.
Yeah.
There's the difference.
Yeah. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, some news on the Aaron Rodgers front as it pertains to the Tennessee Titans. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Valentine's Day is next week, and Nashville's best deals is a great place to score last-minute deals. Right now, there are deals from everything from $50 off of the Woodhouse Spa, half-off dining at the Mainstay and Hard Rock Cafe, half-off the Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with a purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. Nashville's best deals is your place for Valentine's Day steals. You can check them all out at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you. James texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, so excited to have the great Jim Kelly joining the Titans. Not Tim Kelly. Jim Kelly.
No. Yep, that's not it.
He did have a crying laughing emoji. Oh, okay. Not a lying emoji.
Did we say that wrong?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I did.
Maybe I did.
I thought I said Tim.
Michelle?
I don't know, but this morning Max Kellerman called the Titans GM Joe Robinson.
He did.
But then he corrected himself.
There was a Joe Robinson.
That's also J-Rob.
Well,
let's go with J-Rob.
That's true. Ben texting in says, Todd did fine. Injuries and a quarterback that leaves a lot to be desired. I can't expect the offense to gel together suddenly when they weren't healthy together long enough to get chemistry. It's coming from Ben on the text line. So a nice shot at Tannehill in there and the injuries in there as well. I like Ben on the text line.
But not Indy Ben.
Not Indy Ben. There are two different Bens.
Yeah.
There's actually like five different Bens.
Non-Indy Ben. Good comment.
Joe, some news on the Aaron Rodgers side of things. Obviously, we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers a lot here on the program after Jared Stillman reported last week that he purchased property in the Williamson County area and that he was, quote, open to joining the Titans. Teron Davenport, friend of the show, and obviously does a great job covering the Titans for ESPN NFL Nation, put a story out there on Friday, and I'll just read a little snippet from it. It says, quote, Rodgers got thrown into the mix of future Titans quarterback options this week. According to Jared Stillman of 102.5 The Game, Rodgers purchased land in Franklin, Tennessee, a suburb of Nashville where the Titans play, causing speculation that he could be headed to the Titans. However, a team source confirmed to ESPN that the Titans don't consider Rodgers to be an option for them at quarterback and have full intentions of moving forward with Ryan Tannehill. So that's the quote from the story that TD put out there, that the Titans don't consider Rodgers to be an option for them at quarterback and have full intentions of moving forward with Tannehill. Now, there's a lot that you can kind of sift through here, and we'll get into some more comments by John Robinson coming up here in just a few minutes here on the show regarding Ryan Tannehill, because it seems like he's kind of tired of talking about Ryan Tannehill at this point. We'll get to more of that coming up here in just a few minutes. What do you make of that report by TD? And I've seen all sorts of reactions from it, from Titans fans to from anywhere from, all right, well, slam the door shut on that, to, well, what's he supposed to say? You can't say you're pursuing somebody like that, and it would be tampering at that point. What's kind of your read on that report by TD when it comes to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that's why, but remember, that's why it's an unnamed source.
Right.
You know, so he didn't say, fill in name, say,
right.
It,
I talked to source. This.
Right. So, look, I think that paired with all that John Robinson has said so far, you know, at the Senior Bowl, he just had an interview with Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. He had an interview with Buck Rising. I mean, every chance he's had to talk, he's basically tried to say that as much as he can say it, hasn't he? So, you know, with his name on it, John Robinson has said, like, basically, dude, it's not happening. I mean, look, is there a chance that Aaron Rodgers says, here's my list. It's one team. It's the Tennessee Titans. And you better trade me to them. And then the Packers call John Robinson and say, all right, here. And the deal's like, ooh, it's a good deal. And somehow then he also figures out Ryan Tannehill. Sure, but I think we can stop talking about it now. Basically, I think we can stop talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Well, in the there's another report this weekend from the Packers side of things of – yeah, we're not much interested in a trade right now with Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're not even talking about that.
Yeah.
And now, I don't blame him. I mean, they want him back.
Well, they're waiting to hear from him.
Until he expressly tells them, hey, I don't want to be back in Green Bay next year. They're not even going to be
thinking about it. Nor should they be.
Yeah.
Now, that can happen. We could get to that.
It could happen this week.
But, I mean, I guess for me, I was at 98.5.
Yeah, what are you now?
I mean, this doesn't move it much, but I guess I'd go to 99. I mean, you always leave it. Leave it cracked because anything can happen,
of course.
But Jared tagged me. Was it Friday? Thursday or Friday? I think it was Friday. Tagged me on the during his show. Like, well, you know, Robbie and Rex are asking, you know, who's going to take Tannehill? Well, here we go. So I said, okay. He tagged me, so I got on my ESPN 102.5 The Game app, and I listened, and it was like, Carolina? Well, they'd want him. Washington? Yeah. He had like five teams. I'm like, wait a minute. You've spent 2 weeks telling us why he is the Antichrist. Like, he is the worst quarterback in the history of football. And now it's, oh, yeah, all these teams want Tannehill. Absolutely. No problem. You'll take him. Oh, it's like it's a sweepstakes to get Ryan Tannehill out there. You know. Hey, man, it was all worth getting into all of it and
of
trying to find a solution, and it got us through 2 weeks of this offseason.
It did.
And now it's time to
Now we go back to Russell Wilson.
That's true. The door is not closed on that one yet. You know, at some point, you're going to have to start talking about tight ends, unfortunately, in the draft.
Chris on the text line says, so can we schedule an intervention with Stillman? And then we can all move on from this. He might need a support group around him. That's coming from Chris on the text line.
I'm saving some of my Stillman commentary for my Rex rant in an hour.
Coming up at 7:45.
Ooh, I'm excited, Joe.
I don't want to oversell it, but I'm going to say, as a little preview of that, some people going a little bit overboard with this stuff.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Making fun of Jared.
Yeah, we do.
We love it, okay? And he's a good sport about it. Some of the people, like especially some of the Twitter trolls, are like,
I'm shocked that things on Twitter sometimes.
Well, I know. I'm sitting here clutching my pearls about this stuff. But it's like, really? Like, that's what you think was said? It's pretty dumb.
Andrew texting in says, maybe the Packers are tired of Rodgers and would prefer to force him into retirement. What would happen to the Packers? Cap hit? Anything? I don't think they're trying to force him into retirement.
Yeah, they want him to play quarterback.
I don't think they're unhappy with him.
Like, is the minute that they move on from Aaron Rodgers, however it goes,
you're starting.
And
I'm here. Look,
maybe Jordan Love wrong, is good, but,
and people bloom a little bit later. Sometimes you know the light turns on. Jordan Love doesn't look like he could be a quality backup right now, much less a quality starter. So, you know. Again, things can change, and you can improve very quickly as a young player. I get all that. I don't think that's the approach the Packers are taking. Yeah, we're going to force him into retirement.
Well, and that's the thing. That also accelerates the process of, let's look back at that draft, how close you guys have come. You know, I mean, especially last year. But you were close this year. You could have gotten to
the
Super
Bowl. This
is the
best team they've had this year.
And let's look back again at what you did with your first-round pick. My goodness, what have you done?
Yep.
Accelerates putting the microscope on all that.
Yep, I don't think there's any question about it. So, are we officially willing to say that the Aaron Rodgers to Nashville connection means nothing?
Yeah, I mean it's time to move on from it.
Yeah,
I mean actually, I'd be interested to see if Jared does, but it's again absolutely newsworthy item that he's moving here. If he's open to playing for the Titans, some teammates think he's leaving. Okay, then that's interesting too. Never was reported that like it's going to happen. Lots of efforts to try to figure out how it could happen, and I mean John Robinson is doing all he can here in interviews to try to tell people, dude, it's not happening.
Right.
And you can have a problem with that. And I will say that, look, I think at every position you should look and see where you can be better. And I just can't buy that there isn't any different feeling about Tannehill from him, from Vrabel, from a lot of people in that organization. I can't buy it.
Well, if there's not, that's pretty concerning.
Yeah.
If you don't have at least a little bit of a different feeling after what we saw in that playoff game, that's pretty concerning.
Right, because it's not – because, again, it's not just that one game.
Right.
But at the same time, like, this is the situation. And what we really haven't dug in on with this, we really haven't dug in – we've mentioned it. Ah, this guy, that guy, that guy. Cap, draft picks, whatever. If you really dug in on what it would take to do this, like, you are absolutely diminishing yourself significantly. Would it be worth it if you could actually get Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I say yeah, but you got to understand how unrealistic the whole thing is. It's been unrealistic the entire time.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. .1025 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Be listening during the 8 a.m. hour today for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday, February 20th, and access to the Fan Zone as well. The winner will be announced on Friday in the 5 o'clock hour with Stillman & Company. Be sure to catch the Daytona 500 on .1025 The Game, Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Jack from Bowling Green, who wants to weigh in. Jack, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, regarding Aaron Rodgers going to the Titans, that'd be two things in common because they're both a bunch of choke artists. I'll never win a Super Bowl because we suck.
All right. Thank you, Jack. You know, Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. So,
was he okay? Was he choking? Like,
I think he was.
All right. Text us on the text
the
line.
The Titans.
Don't call us again, but text us and let us know you're okay.
The Titans and Aaron Rodgers, apparently a bunch of choke artists.
What?
They'll never win a Super Bowl.
What was he doing there?
He's choking. Like the Titans.
Oh,
and,
so
and,
he was, yeah, he was, okay. I thought he was kind of just going, ah. He was choking. Was emulating choking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was something.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah.
Big Aaron Rodgers fan, I bet.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Is he a Lions fan?
Well, could be.
Taking shots at Aaron Rodgers.
Just waiting for the coming days of glory.
Or a Bengals fan.
Maybe a Bengals fan. Could be so.
I don't know. Let us know. Also, let us know that when you text us. But again, do not call us again.
I don't know how to really where to go from that one, but that was good stuff there.
So I like the text line.
Yeah, text line's great.
But it's fine to call, too, as long as you just say words and not make weird sounds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the Titans, they choked this one away. Aaron Rodgers choked that one away.
That's true.
So
they both did.
And it's both true.
It is accurate.
It is. Got a lot of text on my personal text line right now. What in the world was that? What was that called? I don't know. Andrew texting in, going back to the Aaron Rodgers thing. It's more like they're tired of his antics, and if they can't have him, no one can. Burn the bridge style, coming back from Andrew on the text line when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's going to be how this goes. I'd be shocked.
Right. I mean, think about what you do for yourself there. If you're the Packers and it's like, look, I just don't want to play here anymore, guys. You don't think the Packers are going to want to get some value back for Aaron Rodgers? You know, like they're going to be vindictive and screw themselves over?
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
We're going to totally lose our Super Bowl window and get nothing back.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
They're going to go ahead and get some players and draft picks for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Chris on the text line, once Rodgers is gone from Green Bay, Matt LaFleur could only pray for a $100,000 bonus per loss because they'll lose a lot of games with Jordan Love at quarterback. We're going to hear a lot of that.
I mean, that's the thing. If you invest in that pick, don't you have to give it a go with him?
Yeah.
But what if you know, like you've got 2 years and you're like, it was just a bad pick. What if you know?
Well, I think they might.
So what are they going
to
do?
Well, that's why they're begging Aaron Rodgers to come back. A combination of he's about to be a back-to-back MVP winner and, oh, look, Jordan Love. Not great.
Yeah. I'm really fascinated for the post-Aaron Rodgers you know, decision making if it gets to that. I'm sure you are too.
Yes, I am. Keith from Bowling Green texting in says, Jack from Bowling Green is not indicative of Bowling Green people. This coming from Keith from Bowling Green. Keith, we appreciate you. I got another text that says, personally, I'd rather have Russell Wilson than Aaron. Russell isn't what he was, but he doesn't turn the ball over and has enough arm to make something happen. So you'd rather have Russell Wilson than Aaron, and the reasoning is because Russell Wilson doesn't turn the ball over? Aaron Rodgers threw 4 interceptions this year and 37 touchdowns.
Yeah, Aaron. I'd say Russell Wilson.
I guess you're comparing him to Tannehill. Sure.
I mean, Russell Wilson's had some.
He's had some picks. Doozies.
He's had some picks. I'm going to look at his stats now.
He's a really good player.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. He's a really good player. I would take Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is quite a bit older now. But right now, at this moment, I would take Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Now, over Russell Wilson.
The bottom line in this conversation, and we're going to get into some detailed comments that John Robinson made to Ben Arthur of the Tennessean coming up to begin the next hour. Some interesting stuff from J-Rob. Bottom line, when you factor in kind of the media tour that J-Rob has been on as of late, some comments by TD and his story and then some reporting that he's done, Ryan Tannehill's going to be a quarterback here next year. I think it's probably something that we all need to wrap our brains around. We talked about this.
We have said that from the start.
We have said this from the start. Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback here to begin play next season, barring something incredibly unforeseen at this point. Now, does that mean they couldn't draft someone at quarterback? No. I think they're going to take a heavy look at people at quarterback. But Ryan Tannehill is probably going to be the starter moving forward here next year. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that Vrabel and Robinson still have a lot of confidence in him. I'm curious if you're a Titans fan, have you just totally abandoned hope if Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback next year? Because the thing to keep in mind, I mean, his record is pretty darn good here as a starter. Their division, barring a quarterback change from Indy, you still feel good there. So, like, part of it is just getting in the playoffs and giving yourself a chance to win at that point. I understand that once playoff time comes around, and I'm no different here, I'm going to be looking at him and saying, all right, well, until I see it, I'm just not going to believe it at this point. But, you know, I think people are acting like they're about to turn into the, you know, Detroit Lions or something with Tannehill at quarterback, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, he's not Joey Harrington, you know? No, it's gotten exaggerated for sure. And, again, in the immediate wake of that performance, and it probably comes up again this week. You're going to watch the Bengals and Rams play.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to remember all over again how your team could so easily be there, you know, playing a team in a stadium, a team that had already thumped in that same stadium. So I get it, but yes, it has gotten with some people like Tannehill now is like a completely inept quarterback who's never done anything here. Not true. I think, you know, right now, if I had to guess, if I had to bet you he has a pretty good year next year, and they figure some things out, help him out. I don't know exactly how with all of it, because I don't know how you help everything out, keep the defense good, shore up the offensive line, and get him some more skill help. But I bet you he has a pretty good year, and then it'll just at some point it'll get back to the playoffs, and then it's like, okay, let's see it. But I think some people are thinking they're about to go like 5-12. Did I get the math right?
You
5-12. You know, it's not that bad.
It's not. Now the pushback to that, obviously, and you know this, is that's great. It's a Super Bowl window. We're talking about a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fine to be, you know, and we've even heard some fans last week say, guys, do y'all remember 5 years ago the conversations we were having about this team? Yeah, I remember. Problem is the expectations change. And, look, we'll get to some comments by John Robinson coming up next segment. A lot of similar thoughts to what I just said that John Robinson threw out there as well, which I kind of raised my eyebrow out yesterday when I read that. But that's what happens when you win, is fair or unfair, the expectations also rise up with it. So I get it. Like, the Titans are going to be a good team next year. I don't really have much doubt about that, you know, barring something really unforeseen and Derrick Henry, you know, falling off the table or whatever. I mean, there's a number of factors that are in play. They're going to be a good team next year. But unfortunately for you, if you're a Titans fan, the expectation has now become, can you compete for a Super Bowl? And we're just not going to really, I think, speaking for me personally, I'm not really changing my answer on that until I see Tannehill do it in the playoffs at this point. I mean, the body of evidence is what it is.
Yeah, and look, and the quarterback lineup in the AFC is what it is too. So I think it's asking a lot. But if you get in, you don't know. I mean, there's just so many other questions in Tannehill that we don't know yet. Like, are they going to have a great draft with, like, three or four guys who come right in and help them and make a difference? That would be big.
Yeah.
What's the offensive line going to look like? Is Derrick Henry 2,000-yard level Derrick Henry next year? That would help a lot. Is Julio Jones end of season more Julio Jones, who at least is on the field and can be a pretty decent number two receiver? That would help. There's so many things we don't know. I also am curious, like, how does Tannehill respond to all of this? Because he is viewed very differently here. That's another huge story.
Yeah.
But again, he can have a good regular season now, and it still just doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Got a texture that says, if Tannehill leads us to the playoffs again but chokes in outstanding fashion like he has been, then it's time for him to go. If he's back for yet another season after that, if that were to happen, that's when we all start to riot at that point. Well, to that point, from purely just a moving on from him standpoint, not a trade, not anything else, just cutting ties with him and moving on, that becomes way easier next year.
It still hurts, but you can do it, and it's a big drop in dead money and everything. So it's possible. It's on the table after next year. And this is why I think all along here, the most likely way of addressing the quarterback situation was going to be in the draft, to try to bring someone in, but again, are you investing a high pick in that? Are you investing a high pick in helping Tannehill now? That's going to be a big question. But that's where it would happen. And then you have someone who maybe could be, an apprentice for a year and be ready to take over the year after.
When we come back, some very interesting comments made from Titans general manager John Robinson to Ben Arthur of the Tennessean regarding Ryan Tannehill and the quarterback position. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.